The assumption is this Thursday the House in pro forma session will pass the continuing resolution. But what happens is very interesting. Let's assume that next week everything goes as we expect and the House approves the entire bill and we go till November 18th. Two things people should keep in mind, I think. One, obviously, on the 18th, there will be the end of the continuing resolution, and we'll have to go through some sort of fight, probably a brief one, actually. But on the 23rd of November, 5 days later, the special, what's called the Super Committee, but which is known really as the Joint Select Committee on Deficit Reduction, is required to vote on a plan to reduce spending by between $1.2 and $1.5 trillion over the next decade. And in the law, that's a straightforward, you have to vote by this time or you haven't done your job. And so it'll be interesting to see how the 5 days plays out, the interplay between the continuing resolution and the recommendations, if there are any, of the Joint Select Committee.
Now, would the Joint Select Committee have recommendations for the 2012 fiscal year, or does their work kick in 2013 and beyond?
Well, no, they're required to find a certain set of policies that save between 1.2 and 1.5 trillion over 10 years. And there is no, so if the Congressional Budget Office scores whatever they come up with as saving that amount of money, it could theoretically start 2 years from now, those savings could start, as long as over the 10-year period they've reached 1.2 to 1.5 trillion. So it's hard to answer the question about 2012, but it seems to me that they've taken such a chunk of money already out of the 2012 appropriated discretionary accounts that it's pretty likely that what they will do is try to put together a little kind of hodgepodge of cuts in minor entitlement programs, maybe close a tax loophole or two, and quite frankly, play a couple of budget games and try to just barely get over the finish line.
But they'd have to agree on all of that. They can't even agree on what muffins to have the meeting. I'm not sure. I don't know. I need somebody to give me a reason to be hopeful.
Well, it reminds me, and you're not old enough to remember this, but I remember one of the funny things during the Vietnam peace talks was the fight over the shape of the table. And so we spent a great deal of time arguing about how the table would be formed and who would sit where. This is sort of what has happened at the beginning of this Joint Select Committee. They are having breakfast together on occasion, and they're having lunches together and dinners, and they're having coffee, and they're trying to get to know each other. They've been working very hard on alternatives, but so far, as you know, they've only held really one important set of hearings, and that was when they heard from Doug Elmendorf over the Congressional Budget Office. So it's very difficult right now to get by the fact that they are moving slowly, that they have about a month in order to get the legislative language drafted if they agree on anything, and to get it scored by CBO. So I think some pessimism, which is common in this town, but I think in this case some pessimism is warranted. And the one thing people keep saying is that, well, you know that if they don't act, they're going to have this across-the-board series of cuts in January of 2013. And it'll take a substantial amount more out of domestic programs and out of defense programs. Well, I think those cuts are probably so draconian that what would happen would be that the incoming Congress, whoever controlled Congress in January of 2013, would probably either defer or in some way lessen the impact of such a sequester. You saw yesterday the House Republicans come out with their analysis of defense cuts and the dangers they contend that might make the country vulnerable to. And so you'll see a counterattack. You've heard Leon Panetta say the same thing. So it seems to me that the people who believe that the cuts are so draconian if this special committee doesn't act are really asking us to have a little more faith than history would give us. I remember Graham Robert Hollings 25 years ago, it got so tough that after 1 year, Congress simply ignored the the restraint that was in that bill. So there is a precedent for kind of kicking the can down the road.
We're speaking with Steve Bell, Senior Director of Economic Policy Project at the Bipartisan Policy Center. Now, what about the 2013 agency requests, which have been submitted to OMB, and now OMB is evaluating them, and we're waiting the passbacks later on in the fall? What happens to those in the context of what the committee is doing?
I think most of them, to the extent that they're dealing with discretionary appropriated accounts, will be in pretty good shape, as long as they take into account the $917 billion that's been cut already. And that money, as you know, was cut in order to get the Budget Control Act passed and the debt ceiling increased. So the logical thing would be, and I know that is not a good word here in this town right now, but the logical thing would be to assume that Congress will abide by the deal they made with the president, that about $460 billion will be cut out of defense and non-defense spending. And the agency managers will have to look at the fastbacks in that light and prepare for less spending than they would have expected perhaps 18 months ago.
So basically the 2013 submissions are almost fantasy.
Well, they are in the sense that they're a fond hope. you don't know what the special committee is going to do, and that is a problem for every federal manager. It's also a problem, I think, for the American people in general, but it is very possible that there will be additional small cuts in these discretionary appropriated accounts. It's going to be very difficult, and we've done a lot of work here at the Bipartisan Policy Center on this. What would you have to do if you really didn't touch Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security, and you didn't raise revenues in any way? Let's assume that's what the Joint Select Committee did. What would you have to do every place else? And I will tell you, although we're pretty hawkish on spending, it would be extremely difficult to find $1.2 to $1.5 trillion in real cuts that save that much in outlays off of projected deficits over the next 10 years. Remember that the discretionary accounts form a minority, a small part of the federal budget, and about 62% of the budget is what I would call on kind of autopilot. And these are the entitlements and the mandatory spending programs that are in the federal government. So this particular part of the budget, these discretionary appropriated accounts, are becoming smaller and smaller as a percentage of federal budgeting altogether.
So that federal managers can get a better idea of what they're going to be facing as we proceed down this path, should all eyes then be on the special committee? Is that where the action is going to be, or is there anything else they should be watching for?
No, I think the Joint Select Committee is the game in town. The reason I mentioned that the continuing resolution expires on the 18th and the Joint Select Committee is supposed to report on the 23rd is that it kind of struck me as ironic that even this Congress, and this may sound a bit harsh, and the fact is this Congress apparently didn't know or didn't take into consideration on the agreement yesterday that they're ending this spending, this CR, 5 days before the Joint Committee is supposed to report.
Yeah, I wondered about that too.
What the Joint Committee has, quite frankly, is more than it can handle. Unless it wishes to take advantage of a variety of process changes that we've worked pretty hard here with some of the members of the Joint Committee on, and gain more time for more fundamental changes, what you're going to look at is a really, kind of, as I said earlier, a hodgepodge of spending cuts. You'll get a little tiny bit out of some change in farm programs. You'll raise a couple of fees here and there. You may make some assumptions about how much you save because of an anomaly in the Congressional Budget Office's baseline about troop strengths over the next 10 years. But as far as really changing the trajectory of federal debt, I don't think many people expect the actions of the Joint Committee to do that.